Welcome to Three Tune Tuesday for Tuesday, June the 20th. And welcome to our special time today of 8:30 p.m. I'm your host, Bonaparte. I am your blind skeleton. And I want you to feel right at home in my cozy digital cottage in the countryside. Come on in, find a comfy spot in one of our many oversized Victorian chairs. They all have more than enough cushions. And let's begin to dive into the captivating world of the early 1920s. Three Tune Tuesday is my way of sharing the magic of acoustically recorded songs that were played and enjoyed really before radio became a widespread thing. And this all occurred before roughly 1925. These gems are all from my personal collection, each one very carefully selected to bring you a mix of familiar favorites and hidden treasures. Some may have a few scratches and pops, but that only really adds to their authentic charm. So close your eyes, sit back, relax, and let yourself be transported back in time with me to the 1920s. Three Tune Tuesday is all about celebrating the music that has stood the test of time, and I'm very happy to have you here with me to take this journey with me. We're going to start the show tonight with a song from Clara Smith. Clara Smith was an influential African-American blues singer who was active during the early decades of the 20th century and recorded in the 1920s. She was born on February 14, 1894 in Spartanburg, South Carolina, and grew up in nearby Greenville. Her birth name was Clara Ann Fowler, but she took the last name Smith after her stepfather and did not have any relation to Bessie Smith, who we will hear later on the show. Clara began her singing career in the early 1910s, but she was still really young at the time, and quickly gained recognition for her powerful voice and emotional performances. She was known for her ability to convey a wider range of emotions, from heartbreak and sorrow to sass and defiance, through her expressive singing style. Her vocal range and delivery made her one of the most respected and successful blues singers of the time. She recorded extensively throughout her career, starting in 1923 when she signed a recording contract with Columbia Records. Over the course of her career, she ended up recording over 120 songs for various record labels, including Columbia, Paramount, and Vocalion. Some of her most popular recordings include Done Sold My Soul to the Devil, Empty House Blues, Shipwreck Blues, and Jailhouse Blues. Her songs, as a good blues singer would, touched on themes such as love and heartbreak, infidelity, and very important to the time, the struggles of African Americans. Her performances showcased her ability to captivate audiences and connect with listeners on a really emotional level. Sadly, while her career was successful, she did face racial discrimination and the challenges that African-American artists encountered during the segregated era. Despite these obstacles, she did tour extensively and performed in vaudeville shows, theaters, and speakeasies across the United States. More sadly, even tragically, her career was cut very, very short when she suffered a stroke in 1935. And she passed away on February 2, just a couple of weeks before her 41st birthday. Her contributions to the blues genre are significant. Her powerful voice and emotional performances continue to inspire musicians today. Her recordings are really cherished for their historical value and for providing a glimpse into the vibrant and evolving world of early blues music. The song we have coming up for you is Nobody Knows the Way I Feel This Morning. This is a blues song. It's been performed by various artists over the year. It was written by Tom Delaney and first recorded in 1923 by the influential blues singer Mamie Smith, who also is of no relation to Clara Smith or Bessie Smith. The song's lyrics express feelings of sadness, of loneliness, and despair, reflecting the struggles and hardships of life. It's a very poignant expression of emotional turmoil and the desire for understanding and empathy from others. Here is Nobody Knows the Way I Feel This Morning. Sometimes the scratches and the pops and the hissing on these records really serves only to bring out the emotion of the song. I think that particular record really serves itself well by being so well used, so well worn, and so scratchy at the same time. It really brings out the emotion of what Clara is feeling at the time. I love it. Now, before we move on to our next tune, I'd like to take a moment to share a few updates we have here at Blind Skeleton and Skeleton Brew. Next week, Three Tune Tuesday will return to its normal time of 12 noon Eastern Time. This week is an anomaly. My mom has been visiting this last week, and today I had to drive her back to the airport. Sadly, could not do the show and drive at the same time. Next Wednesday, we'll have Electric Dreams at 8:30 p.m. EST. Electric Dreams is the counterpart to Three Tune Tuesday, but is played twice a month as opposed to weekly. Electric Dreams, we play early electrically recorded music, typically between the years 1927 to 1937, give or take a few years on each side. So be sure to tune in next week for both shows. They're bound to be a really good time with some really great music. Of course, all the listeners, all you folks out there listening at home, have the opportunity to influence the songs that I play on these shows. The Blind Skeleton Record Library is available to browse and search on the Blind Skeleton webpage. Once you find the search feature, find the song that you like, there is a request button. Hit the button, small form to fill out, sends the request to me, I play it. Once I play it, I send you a coupon for 10% off coffee at Skeleton. It's a great win for all. I love hearing from my listeners to hear what they have to say and types of music they like to listen to. The next song we have is named Dicty Blues. I will admit, when I first heard this, it was a new term to me. I had to look it up a couple of times. I thought it may have been a typo on the label, but sure enough, Google told me that it was not. Dicty Blues, that's spelled D-I-C-T-Y, is a jazz song composed by Fletcher Henderson and recorded by his orchestra in 1923. It was one of the first jazz recordings to feature the saxophone, which is played here by Coleman Hawkins. It's a blues foxtrot, so it's faster than the being a foxtrot. And the lyrics are about the Dicty, or the uptown crowd in Harlem. The lyrics to the song are about the fashionable and sophisticated young people of the 1920s, which were known as Dicties. The term was used in the early 20th century to refer to people who were fashionable and sophisticated, and in the context of Harlem in particular, it was used to describe the African-American elite who were trying to assimilate into white society. The song ends up being a satirical look at this group of people and pokes fun at their pretensions. Now, the saxophonist that I had mentioned, Coleman Hawkins, was an American jazz saxophonist and ultimately composer who is widely regarded as one of the most influential figures in the history of jazz. He played a significant role in shaping the development of the tenor saxophone as a lead instrument, and was known for his innovative playing style and melodic improvisations. Being a jazz saxophonist, he would be very good at improv, of course. He was born November 21st, 1904, in St. Joseph, Missouri, and he showed a passion for music at a young age. He began his career playing in local bands before moving to New York City in the mid-1920s, where he became immersed in the jazz scene in Harlem. He would have been 19 years old when playing for Fletcher Henderson on this recording of Dicty Blues. Now, Fletcher Henderson himself was a very prominent African-American pianist, bandleader, arranger, and composer. He played a very pivotal role in the development of big band jazz and is regarded as one of the key figures in the swing era. He was born December 18, 1897 in Georgia, began his musical career as a pianist, and actually studied chemistry at Atlanta University, which is now known as Clark Atlanta University, but had a passion for music, so that's what he pursued. In the early 1920s, he also moved to New York, where he became an important figure in the Harlem music scene, which is where, of course, he would have met Coleman Hawkins. His first significant contribution came as a bandleader and arranger. He formed the Fletcher Henderson Orchestra, which became one of the leading jazz bands of the 20s. The orchestra featured a number of exceptional musicians, including notable up-and-comers such as Coleman Hawkins and Louis Armstrong. Henderson's influence extended beyond his own band. Now, a lot of other jazz musicians, including Duke Ellington and Benny Goodman, acknowledged his impact on their music as well. His arrangements and compositions laid the foundation for the swing era, inspiring a lot of future generations of musicians. So here is Dick D. Blues. As that song comes to an end, I would like to take a moment to remind and point out that I do my very best to play these songs as they were intended to be played. I play them on appropriately era equipment. That last song was played on a Victrola VV210. I place microphones around the phonographs at an appropriate distance, a decent distance, and I modify the volume on the microphone as needed. I try to bring as an authentic experience to the listeners as I possibly can. Next song, we're going to flip back to my Victrola V11. It's my workhorse of the bunch. Now, for all of you music lovers and coffee lovers out there, we do have Skeleton Brew Coffee to help you through your day. Skeleton Brew Coffee, I will be forthright and blunt, is the way we pay the bills here at Blind Skeleton. Skeleton Brew is Blind Skeleton's own brand of custom roasted small batch coffee that is not roasted until after it's ordered. It comes to you as fresh as it can possibly be. The beans are green until they are ordered. We order them, we roast them, we ship them to you. We have a variety depending on your likes. We have perfect roasts for cold brew. We've got espressos. We've got your traditional morning coffee. We have a half calf for early afternoon, and we even have a decaf for the evening. We definitely have the roast that will pair perfectly with your preferred music. It's great, fantastic coffee. Yes, I'm gushing about it. I drink it myself. It's great coffee. Skeleton Brew coffee can be found at skeletonbrew.coffee. And of course, as mentioned earlier, if you send in a song request, we will send you a 10% discount after the song is played. So as promised, I had mentioned to a number of people today that we would be playing Bessie Smith, and Bessie Smith is indeed coming up next. We've got her version of Sinful Blues. This is a blues song written by Perry Bradford, a notable African-American songwriter and music publisher in the early 20th century. He was an influential figure also in the Harlem music scene. He played a role in shaping and popularizing blues and jazz music. The song, Sinful Blues, was almost perfectly fit for Bessie Smith. It had very daring and provocative lyrics, looked into themes of temptation, desire, and indulgence, which is almost what Bessie Smith was all about. Not only was she Empress of the Blues, she could also arguably be considered the first bad girl of music and blues. The song captivated audiences with its sultry tone. It was a commercial success. It established Perry Bradford as a very talented songwriter, and it contributed to the growing acceptance of blues music in mainstream circles. The song has been covered and interpreted by various artists. It really does have an enduring appeal. And the song's lyrics, as evocative as they are, really do resonate with listeners, making it a notable contribution to the early blues repertoire. It was good at challenging societal norms. It's what music should do. It's what blues did. It's what jazz did. To an extent, it's what swing did. And that is what African-American music really did to the music scene in the 10s and 20s. They looked at it. They shook it up. They really pushed it forward. Now, the song we have tonight, the recording we have, is by Bessie Smith, and it's notable for her distinctive vocal style and really powerful delivery, which became her trademark. Now, even more so than Clara Smith, she had the ability to really convey a wide range of emotions, from vulnerability to raw sensuality. She had a deep, rich voice and a very expressive interpretation. So, without much further ado, here is the Empress of the Blues singing Sinful Blues.
Hold my stuff.
A lot of the lyrics sung by Bessie Smith resonated with audiences. They really did dive into the Stanford blues, love, betrayal, sexuality, and the hardships faced by African Americans at the time. She really, really was the Empress of the Blues. And I'll repeat a refrain that I had earlier. The cracks, hissles, and pops of these old blues albums and songs serve only to really bring out the emotion, and I think it adds that level of character. So we are at the end of our show today. Thank you all, one and all, for joining me and listening in at this late hour of the day. Next week we will be back at our regular time of 12 p.m. noon Eastern Time. And of course next week we also have Electric Dreams at Wednesday at 8:30 p.m. By all means, please, I do invite you all to find me on social media. I'm on Twitter as @skeleton_1. I'm on Facebook, even on Mastodon these days. Hunt down the webpage, blindskeleton.1. Links to all of our social media is there. Please do like it, please do share it, please do share the good Blind Skeleton word with your friends. You know, we love music, we love the arts, theater, film photography. If it's a vintage part of your soul, we are all into supporting it. Thank you once again for joining in tonight. I appreciate my time with you. I hope you enjoyed it as well. Send me a note, send me an email, send me a tweet. Let's keep the conversation going and have a fantastic evening. Thank you. Bye-bye.